Hello, and welcome back to the IBD Dietitian. My name is Nicole, and I'm a registered dietitian with Crohn's disease. So it's been a while, and a lot has changed. I started Stelara last week. So far, okay. I've had some itchiness. I had a couple headaches for a couple days after, but nothing major, hardly noticeable. A lot of anxiety over starting a new medication. And also, I don't know if I mentioned, but I am going into a PhD program starting next week. And that's in integrative and functional nutrition. And that's to help me go into research for Crohn's disease in particular and diet. Lately, what I've been thinking about, I was just reading a research article on polyphenols and the anti-inflammatory effects of polyphenols. Now, if you don't know, polyphenols essentially are in like spices, herbs, like turmeric is considered like a polyphenol. Green tea has EGCG in it, which is a polyphenol. The polyphenols in red wine and grapes, and coffee has polyphenols, as well as extra virgin olive oil. There are many, many more polyphenols, and it is a very complicated class to study. There's so much to it. And actually, a lot of Chinese medicine has polyphenols in it, which, you know, there's a specifically, let's see, it starts with a B, and it was used in ancient Chinese medicine to treat psoriasis, which, if you didn't know, a lot of the Crohn's medications also treat psoriasis as well, because it's essentially a very similar immune effect. So yeah, there's that polyphenol. So what I started doing is I was thinking, what about the Chinese diet? Not like today's Chinese diet, the very modern version, which is very Americanized, which is why they're having more diseases, as Americans have a more ancient or, you know, less, I don't want to say industrialized, but, you know, more ancient Chinese focus. I'm talking like soups made from scratch at home, a lot of vegetables, which is really hard for me right now because I have a stricture. I have to be very careful with the vegetables that I eat, or fruits that I eat, making sure that they're cooked or, you know, there's no skin. The thing for me, like bananas and potatoes are a big go-to, and they've always given me some kind of GI upset even before I had Crohn's. So I do notice, like, when I have a banana, I feel nauseous most of the day, or when I have potatoes, I get very bloated and crampy. So really, I am not eating much fruits, vegetables, fiber. I'm drinking Ensure once, maybe twice a day if I'm having a rough day, and that has some fiber in it. But in general, I'm not getting much fiber at all. So, you know, but you don't need to consume fruits and vegetables to get the polyphenol effect. So drinking green tea, if possible, finding a grape juice that isn't like processed, which is, I'm not sure there's one on the market right now that you could drink that isn't full of high fructose corn syrup or other additives. You know, but cooking like a soup, and if I put a bunch of vegetables in it, maybe straining the vegetables out and drinking the broth, eating the broth with a little bit of chicken in it, some rice or noodles, that is still giving me some sort of polyphenol content. So these are things I'm not doing right now. And like overall, I've been having a really rough time changing my diet. I've been mildly following the Crohn's disease exclusion diet, which is chicken, rice, bananas, potatoes. But of course, you know, I'm not eating bananas or potatoes. And then Ensure, rice cakes are on the diet. I have added a few things, but I'm trying to exclude emulsifiers, polysorbate 80, maltodextrin. Carrageenan is one that I'm not sure. A lot of the research, it depends on the molecular weight of the carrageenan as to whether it would cause intestinal issues or not. And it sounds like they don't really know which type of molecular weight is being used in food, which is scary. But there's a chance if it is the, I think, low molecular weight, that it's safe. And polysorbate 80, you know, back in the 70s was shown to cause intestinal ulcers in mice. The original study that approved it with the FDA. So avoiding those things, reducing like artificial sweeteners out, food dyes, that kind of thing. I do notice when I eat something with a lot of food coloring in it, I tend to get more diarrhea, and I don't normally have diarrhea. So that's, you know, that would be a good thing to avoid. I have been drinking the sugar sweetened coffees from Dunkin', which should be out. But it's one thing that makes me happy. Doesn't usually cause me an issue. As far as gluten and bread and yeast go, I have been including that, once or twice a day, which is in the phase two of the CDED diet. But I have noticed that when I do eat it, I have GI upset. Like the other day I had scrambled eggs with onion and I was fine. Today I had scrambled eggs with onion and a slice of toast, half a slice of toast, and I'm feeling very crampy and uncomfortable right now. So I think the toast has got to be out. Bread's got to be out. To the rest of my day, I do have rice cakes with peanut butter for a snack, and I was going to have an ensure for lunch. And then I was going to make myself some chicken fried rice for dinner, maybe including some carrots and having a few of those. Green onions, I was going to include. Green onions are something I believe will have polyphenols in them. See, even I don't fully understand the polyphenol content, but, you know, getting, even if it's essence of a fruit or a vegetable, like I made chicken burgers with ground chicken the other day, and I grated an onion into it. And all of that, like, juice and everything in the onion is full of nutritional benefit. And it falls into these, like, polyphenol antioxidant categories that are ultimately fairly new. I didn't learn these things when I was in college because it was just, they were nutrients that we hadn't identified yet, essentially. Like, we knew of polyphenols, but I don't think we knew to the depth that it is now, and especially the power of it was very underrated. It was all fiber and vitamins and minerals, and those are the important things, but I think we're finding now that there's so much more to produce than just vitamins and minerals and fiber. So focusing on getting polyphenols into your diet will be huge, and it's really great for your gut microbiome. We're learning more and more that polyphenols may play as big, if not bigger, role on the microbiome than fiber. And if you didn't know, fiber is really, really important for your microbiome. It helps you, your microbes eat up the fiber that we can't digest and absorb and turns it into short-chain fatty acids. And that we do absorb, and it helps repair the gut lining, keep it in good order, and, you know, prevent or repair leaky gut, which if you have IBD, you have leaky gut. And yeah, so that's kind of my two cents for today and where I'm looking at things. I'm thinking of leaning more towards, you know, a Chinese medicine kind of diet, eating more soups and broths. I mean, we know bone broth is good. So I'm going to be this weekend trying to make my homemade bone broth. I've only done that a couple of times. I've done homemade vegetable broths before, which are really good, which I might do some of that too. Leaning towards rice more, maybe getting some rice noodles from the Chinese section of my grocery store. Yeah, so that is where I'm at. And mentally, I mean, this is hard. It's hard to change your diet, and that cannot go underestimated or understated, or like, we need to talk about it. You know, it's not easy. And especially if you have kids, I mean, it's so hard. I've lived my entire life eating in a way that's not healthy, not good. I've always leaned towards packaged foods, snack cakes, and, you know, it's not just like I would eat them as a meal replacement or a snack. It's more of, that's where I would go for binging. And binging is my coping mechanism, and it still is. You know, things like pizza, getting pizza out, you know, getting a muffin from, or a donut from Dunkin' Donuts, or a box of donuts. Like, to me, these things are tradition. And letting it go and learning to create, essentially, it's creating a whole new lifestyle as if my life before didn't exist. That's hard. We cling to the past. That is what we do as humans, and it's our fault. And that's where it's like meditation and mindfulness and, you know, learning to move on, letting go of the past. But that's not easy because it's not natural. We cling to the past for comfort, and we look for the things that made us feel good. And, you know, I grew up in an environment where food was everything. And, you know, when I see certain foods or I see other people getting foods and being happy and relaxed, it's like I want to feel that way. And I can't, and I don't. And somehow I need to create a new food environment and food traditions inside this world, in my little bubble of my life, where it's really hard. It's really hard. And just saying really hard is not doing it justice. And if you're going through this, if you're trying this, you understand and you know where I'm coming from. But if I want to feel good, I want to get healthier and stop being so afraid of everything, my life, my body, my medication, you know, I want to help my medication do the work it needs to do and potentially come off of it someday. I don't know, you know, and that's why I'm getting into the PhD program, is to help other people with IBD not go through this struggle. They're going to go through the struggle because our food environment is a disaster and it's nearly impossible to escape. That part of it is going to be a challenge forever, but it's all possible. And, you know, part of it too, I would love to get polysorbate out of the food system. And that is one of my goals, is to work towards and strive towards that, because I look at my son who likes to eat the snack cakes and ice cream. All of those things have polysorbate in them. A lot of the things that he loves. And I feel like I can't protect him, you know, like I can't tell him not to do what other people are doing. You know, if he's at school or he's at daycare, and or his grandparents' house, and they want to take him to get ice cream, or, you know, he wants like a snack cake because they give those out at school sometimes. It's like, what am I going to tell him? You can't be like everybody else because you are predisposed to an autoimmune disorder. Like, it shouldn't be that the food system is hurting us, but it is. It knowingly is, but because it doesn't cause cancer, it's okay. Because cancer is the big bad. As long as it doesn't cause cancer, it's fine. But that's, you know, and I mean, maybe you could branch it out and say, well, because it causes autoimmune disorders, it causes intestinal ulcers, it increases our risk of colon cancer, so ultimately it causes cancer. But it's bad that we have to do that fight. It's bad that we have to say that it causes cancer in order to make something happen. Because cancer isn't always the worst case scenario. Living with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis is just as bad. We have to take chemo treatments. Our hair falls out on certain medications. We get allergic reactions because of these medications. We are in pain. We are uncomfortable, and it's lifelong. It isn't curable. Some cancers are. Colon cancer is curable. Breast cancer is curable. Skin cancer. I mean, I would put it on the same level. And I don't want to offend anybody here. And I know that some cancers are really bad, or they're found too late. Like, you are just, you're dead. It's terminal. You could die within a month of getting your diagnosis. And I understand that. But this is just as bad. People die from this also. And sometimes they die young. I've seen it. So fixing our food system is a huge step in the right direction. And then fixing our culture. That's it. That's all I have for today. You know, look me up on Instagram, IBD Dietitian, or Nicole Wake. DM me if you want to open up this conversation and talk. I would love to get feedback from anybody who's listening if you're interested in having this conversation. But anyway, I will speak to you next time.